Welcome to The Conversation. This is Andy Mason, and you're listening to authentic conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and work. And today, I'm going to be talking about how to maximize your life, the best way to do that. And the best way, hands down, is by associating with the right people, having the right people in or around your life, not always for the entirety of your life, but key people at key times that can literally multiply to maximize who you are as a person, what you're called to, where you're going. And the opposite is also true. You can be around people that will sabotage the trajectory of your life. They will undermine you, they will drag you down, and if you're not aware of it, you'll find yourself scratching your head saying, how did I get into this hole? It's all about having wise people around you, the right people that speak into your life. So I'm going to walk through four people that have been that to me, the conversations that changed my life, how the difference between having those people and not having those people in my life, and then how you can find some people like that to speak into your life. Here's a real quick tip. It doesn't have to be a person in real life. It could be a book. There have been books that I've read that have literally changed my life because I've read them. So I'm going to unpack that, walk through, and really it's founded on this one ancient proverb or ancient piece of wisdom. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Literally, if I could do nothing else, that would be to tell you that you must find people around your life that will speak truth into you, into who you are, into where you're going, that will change the course of history for you and the people around you. So what are these? So here's the conversations. First one was, his name's Bill Pascoe. I hope he gets to listen to this. Bill was actually the best man for my father at my father's wedding. He wasn't even my best friend. He's actually my father's best friend. And he became a hero to me. He's a farmer, agricultural worker. He worked with his hands. He could have been a national hockey player for New Zealand. That's the caliber of this person. Outstanding as a husband, as a father, as a leader in his environment, and also very good at what he did with the work of his hands. And so I remember I would go and spend my vacations and work on his farm, or you might say ranch. I'd do everything. I loved, it wasn't just being with him and doing the work, but it was just, there was something about him. It's the kind of person that I wanted to grow up and be like. His wisdom, the way that he worked, he was strong. He was a man's man, and he is that and is that today, and just such a wonderful source of peace and wisdom and truth. So I remember I left school. I did a two-year cadetship on a large ranch station, and I wanted to spend my life as a manager for a large corporate ranch in New Zealand. That was what I was aspiring to. And I finished this two-year cadetship, learned how to ride a horse, break a horse, work with dogs, plant grasses, manage livestock, build fences, all of the practical things pertaining to agriculture in New Zealand. And I was thinking, I'm going to go to university, I'm going to do a diploma in farm management, and then I'm going to apply to some corporate organizations in New Zealand to work as a large corporate farm manager. So I come back and I speak with Bill, and I'm talking to Bill about what I'm thinking, and he kind of starts to ask me questions. Andy, you're really capable. How do you know that this is what you're going to fix your life on? What else could you do? And through that conversation, got me thinking bigger. So not just a diploma, but if I did a degree in agriculture, it would open up so many more opportunities that I don't even know or think about right now, because I was thinking small right now. I just want to work with my hands. It launched me on this trajectory of ending up doing a four-year agricultural science degree with honours that resulted in winning a scholarship to work for Agriculture New Zealand as a leading company in agricultural business consultancy that launched me literally on the journey that I am still on today, practically and spiritually helping people in their lives and their businesses. if it wasn't for that conversation where I listened to him, I would have been stuck on some ranch in the back of New Zealand, which would have been fine, but it would never have been what was possible I was capable of doing. That's number one. Number two, Pastor Mike Connell. Mike is an outstanding man of God, a leader. He was a school teacher turned pastor, started multiple things, and he's a wonderful man of God. So many people are in different environments, and to be able to sit under Mike and his teaching was such a gift for me. And so I was serving there for a number of years. I was working at that time both in agricultural business and then in agricultural finance and serving in local church. And at one point, as a part of the leadership team, there were some discussions around whether I come on and do some, whether I go part-time. God, are you calling me to be a pastor? What does that look like? I'm terrified of it. All they do is sit around an office and talk. It seems so. All of these different head games of what was going on. It's like, oh, there's no way I want to do that. I end up having a conversation with Mike and saying, hey, Mike, I'm thinking about talking to you about the possibility of being a pastor. I'm not sure if I really want it. It terrifies me. He didn't even answer that question. He asked me, what's going on? Because it sounds like you're making a decision out of fear. What's really holding you back? And I started to say, well, really, I don't want to work in an office, see stuck inside, just sitting with people's problems. And he helped me see that I was making a decision out of a reaction to fear rather than actually just walking in and trusting it. Actually, it led to a conversation where in my work at the time, I was reacting and holding back from leadership opportunities because others in the environment were self-promoting, were fake, and I so didn't want to be that. I was doing the opposite. I was walking away from leadership opportunities, which led me to this conversation with Mike about pastoring, which had nothing to do with where I'd end up going or doing at that time, but it actually triggered all of these other conversations. What that turned into was this realization, oh my gosh, I'm living my life based on fear of being like or looking like someone else rather than walking boldly into this. Is I'm just going to walk into it. I don't care what you label me, what you call me, what this looks like. I'm just going to step up and volunteer. So it literally, from that one conversation with Mike, I went back to my boss in the bank, the agricultural bank that I was working for at the time, and actually apologized for avoiding leadership opportunities that they'd been trying to get me to do because I was afraid of looking a particular way or just crazy, stupid thinking. Immediately at the end of that conversation with my boss, he asked me to take over leading some office meetings, which within 3 months turned into a promotion to be a regional new business manager. What's the point? Without that conversation with Pastor Mike, I'd still be living far less than what was capable and making my decisions based on fear of what I don't want to be rather than just walking boldly into what I could be. So critical, critical. Number three, Chris Valentin. Chris is a senior associate leader at Bethel Church here in Redding, California. He's now my direct overseer in what I do. So this was years later in Redding, and we're building out Heaven and Business, and I hear God say, I want you to go online, build an online platform. So I put together a pitch, and I'm thinking, what can I do with the resources that I have? And I put that plan together, and we can do this lean startup. We're going to build out what we've got. I then go and sit down with Chris to run it past him. This is what I'm thinking. This is why. This is what it looks like. This is who our customer is. This is the problem. This is the solution. This is our business model. This is how I'm going to fund it from cash surplus from the previous year. And Chris just looks at it and just immediately asks, well, this is Heaven and Business. What would you do with, what if you fully funded this? What if you believed God and just went for it? Now, how much would you need to go full on right from the start rather than a lean startup with a few dollars? What would you need to employ someone right from the start and just go for this? I said, well, probably $100,000. And he says, well, why don't you go to some of the business people that are fully on board with you and ask if they'd be willing to invest that? And freaked me out, thinking, oh my gosh, Now I think, oh my gosh, that's so small. But at the time, that is huge. How could I ever do that? Well, it turned into refining the business pitch, presenting that pitch, for practice pitch, to a bunch of students in the School of Ministry in the business track that we were doing. Two of those people in the room that day walked up to me after the pitch. Remember, it was a practice. It wasn't even the real thing. And saying, Andy, I love this. I want to be one of your founding members. I want to put $10,000 in. I'm just like, oh, I wasn't even asking. So a practice pitch, because of a conversation with Chris, turns into two people. It carried on like that till we ended up with $90,000 of funding, and I only directly asked one person, and that one person said, no, I don't want to put in 10,000, I want to put in 20. What's the point? I was thinking small until I had a conversation with a wise counselor that helped me think bigger. I've got to have those wise counselors in my life. Next one, number four, Tony Stoltzfus. Tony is really one of the founders of life coaching and training in America. You can find out more about him on coach22.com. You'll find his coaching questions, his questions for Jesus material is just ridiculously good. And I bumped into Tony through a series of crazy events, and he's become a board member for our 501c3 called the Hope Directive. It's how we do some things outside of the normal box where people can't necessarily fund it. So he's a director on that, and I'm meeting with him. He's become an advisor really in so many other things in life too, and helping shape and walk me through life. And about 2 years ago, we're in a situation where we've bought a house, we've got to come up with the funding, and I've heard God say, this is going to happen. So I'm praying, I'm doing all the things that I know. The bank won't lend me the funds, and I don't really know what else to do. And then Tony says, so Andy, you believe in God? Yep. So you're doing all you know to do? Yep. The bank won't lend you the money? No. She says, so what do you expect? The money just going to fall out of the sky? I'm like, maybe. And he said, well, who knows about this? And I'm like, nobody. And he said, well, why, if this is God, why don't you ask God to give you the names of 5-6 people and then go and talk to them, your situation, put a proposal to them and see whether you could borrow some money off some of these key people. Now, that conversation terrified me because what if I get rejected? What if I fail? Isn't this an admission of failure because I haven't got the funds? All of those things. What if these people start to think that I'm only reaching out because I only value what they can have from a financial basis? Crazy bouts of thinking in me that wouldn't have even popped unless Tony started to ask me those questions. So needless to say, I asked God, give me some names. I then boldly, but full of fear, approached those people. It turned into 6 conversations that went so much deeper. The relationships only got better. None of my fears came to pass. Not one of them had the funds to actually help us, but each gave wisdom and direction on how to move forward. And then the final one, after 3 conversations, turned into, number one, a strategy to access 80% of what we needed. And then he himself loaned us the balance to make that all happen. What's the point? Without that wise counsel from Tony, I'd probably still be sitting in a rental property. There's no way I would have accessed the funding that I did, or even received the funding that we got, because of one conversation with a wise counselor that turned into an action step that I implemented. What's the point? Without counsel, plans go squirrely. They go awry. They go weird. They go all over the place. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. That's Proverbs 15:22. So before counsel, I was only accessing my intelligence and thought. But after counsel, I accessed a collective intelligence. Decades more wisdom and experience than that multiplies what I could step into. Before counsel, I was thinking small. After counsel, my bubble of thinking was popped and replaced with something 100 times bigger. And the belief that I could do this. You know, it's interesting to think I've had people and wise counselors around me in the past, and highlights one day in the morning, I met with a counselor or an advisor, talked through my situation, and I walked away from that meeting feeling depressed and discouraged and how much I suck. In the afternoon, I met with another, it just happened to be meeting the same day with another successful business person that I'd call a counselor or an advisor. Identified exactly the same problems and limitations and challenges, but I walked away feeling encouraged and powerful and full of faith that I could do this. What's the point? Both of them gave accurate information. One of them carried a spirit of encouragement that enabled me to do it. Don't just look after and look for wise counselors and people can speak truth. Find people that can speak truth that also have the encouragement to help you do it. You don't just need to know what to do, you need the courage to actually do it. That's a person that has around them, I would say, like a father or like a mother that doesn't just tell you what to do, but gives you the courage to go and do it. Before counsel, I was limited to my friends and circle of influence, but after counsel, I gained access to a much wider group of people that could add value, wisdom, and resources. Before counsel, my decision was being motivated by fear. After counsel, my perspective was changed, my beliefs were adjusted, and I started making healthy decisions. Before counsel, I was my own accountability. In other words, there was none. Nobody would have known if I hadn't done anything. Nobody would have known if I shrunk back or lived by fear. But as soon as I went and talked to somebody and asked for their input, now I'm being held to something far greater and a different perspective, and I can no longer stay avoiding everybody else. Now it's in the light. I've got to move forward. The result? Momentum. Finally, before counsel, I was thinking short term. Me, my world, now. But after counsel, I was thinking about the bigger picture, how this could affect others and how this could affect eternity. That is so valuable. Bottom line, you need wise counsel. So where can you find it? Super quick. Number one, the ancient book of wisdom. The book of Proverbs in the Bible is 31 chapters. You can read one chapter a day, full of wisdom that will help you succeed. Number two, books, courses, industry magazines. There's so much of free stuff. YouTube, I have an Audible subscription where I listen to a book once a month. Listen to podcasts. The latest one I'm listening to is Pete Scazzero on emotionally healthy leadership. It's phenomenal. YouTube videos. You can pay for online courses. You can jump onto Heaven and Business online. There's a ton of resources there that'll help you build business with God that'll shape the city you serve. Heavenandbusiness.com, you can find that out. Number three, professionals, qualified and experienced counselors, advisors, pastors, coaches, consultants. I have relationships with a professional coach, a marriage counselor. Oh man, that's phenomenal. Do that regularly. Pastor, a mentor, I've got an advisory board. I'm looking to change that and grow that continually, but I look for those people and you can find them all over the place. And number four, friends, community, service group. I met with three friends every 2 weeks where we advise one another. We're peers and I get that peer input. We help each other stay accountable. Others I've met by serving or attending local courses, I bump into people. I met a local law enforcement officer through a community group. I've attended different functions and events. I sat next to a guy at a launch of something in the city and connected. That guy's become a key stimulator in me growing and adding momentum. There's so many places. So what's your action step? What about you? What are you going to do as a result of this? Who do you need to talk to? Who can you actually set up an appointment with and actually open your life up and say, this is where I want to go. Would you be willing to speak in? Maybe it's a book that you need to read. Maybe it's a course that you could actually buy that's going to help you. You'd invest in yourself. Either way, thanks for listening and being a part of this conversation, and I bless your week.